Welcome to our service for Sunday the 7th of July. There are various ways you might describe today. It's the sixth Sunday after Trinity, or the first Sunday after Bishop Dorian launched his initiative, Pruning for Growth, or the first Sunday of the new Labour government. It's a bit soon to talk about pruning for growth, but a bit easier to talk about the new government, mainly because we've all known for weeks, nay months, who was going to be in it. So, later in the service, we'll spend a little time reflecting on some of the people we expect to be in the new cabinet and their relationship to faith, family, and British values. But we begin with the hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine. The words we sing are a translation of a very beautiful poem originally in Italian, written in the 14th century by the poet and mystic Bianco de Siena, a prayer of longing for the filling of the Holy Spirit. So to our time of penitence, let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross, many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the sixth Sunday after Trinity. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you, that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. When I saw this, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of someone speaking. He said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offence at him. Then Jesus said to them, Prophets are not without honour, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Waking and sleeping, thy presence
That I speak, and the meditations of all our hearts, be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. I'm writing this on Friday morning, the morning after the general election. It's quite early. As the day progresses, we'll see the former Prime Minister Rishi Sunak go to give his resignation to the King, and the King will invite Sir Keir Starmer, the new Prime Minister, to Buckingham Palace, where he will ask him to form a new government. At some point, Sir Keir will receive a call from President Biden of the United States and probably calls from a number of other world leaders. It's not clear at what time of day these things will happen, but we do know one of the day's timings, which furnished my favourite moment of the election campaign. At 5 o'clock, more or less, Sir Keir will stop working and go home to share the beginning of the Sabbath with his Jewish wife and with his children. The family have taken a strong decision to keep the children out of the public gaze, and a similarly strong decision to respect the tradition of their mother's faith in this way. It's made me think about families of faith and families generally in modern Britain in the light of our new government. I sometimes hear people saying that immigrant communities should somehow espouse British values. There's no today than Friday to reflect on what that might mean. On Friday, usually in the morning, Britain's Muslim citizens will mostly attend the weekly prayers at their local mosque. On Friday evening, Britain's Jewish citizens, albeit fewer in number, will gather in their homes for the keeping of Shabbat, before attending synagogue on Saturday. Not everyone in those communities respects all those traditions, of course, but it's certain that the percentage of Muslims attending the mosque and the percentage of Jews attending synagogue are much higher than the percentage of the white British population who will attend church on Sunday, and by the way, the percentage of our black citizens who will attend church on Sunday is higher than that of the indigenous population too. So when I hear people saying that immigrants should adopt British culture, I have to say I take it with a pinch of salt. There are a number of traditions of immigrant communities which I wish more white British people would follow, and respect for our traditional faith is foremost among them. The Starmers are an example of the fact that these other traditions typically also a much stronger sense of family than British culture usually does nowadays. In British culture, we're not really sure what we think about the family now. They mess you up, your mum and dad, said the poet Philip Larkin, except he didn't say mess. They mess you up, your mum and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were messed up in their turn by fools in old-style hats and coats who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Man hands on misery to man. It deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can and don't have any kids yourself. Larkin's tongue is firmly in his cheek, though he was, of course, good at misery. But we have accepted too easily that because any kind of family can mess you up, it doesn't matter what kind of family culture we espouse. Whereas all the evidence is that the stable family unit of mother, father and children offers the best chance for the well-being of children. And again, immigrant communities have held on to that belief better than we have. But in this respect, our new government is really interesting. Assuming that the new cabinet is a continuation of what was the shadow cabinet, then our new Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, for example, and our new Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, are both men who were raised in relative poverty mainly by their mothers, and all the more impressive for it. Streeting has said that he recalls Conservative Party politicians, particularly Anne Widdecombe in the 1990s, denigrating single-parent families like mine, which I took quite personally. But if Streeting and Lammy had it tough, their childhood was quite comfortable compared to that of Angela Rayner, whose family life was more or less indescribable. I put on the service sheet the link to Rayner's interview with Rory Stewart and Alistair Campbell on the political podcast Leading. If you listen to it, you will probably come away incredulous that anyone could have had the desperate childhood experience that she had in Britain in the 1990s. And whatever your politics, I guarantee that you'll also come away with newly heightened respect for Rayner's personality and abilities. Sir Keir Starmer's family, of course, was much more stable, but perhaps the best known fact about him is that his dad was a toolmaker. Whereas recent Conservative cabinets have been diverse in terms of race and religion, this will undoubtedly be the most working-class cabinet of my lifetime. Compare, for example, the last time Labour came into office, with the public schoolboy Tony Blair as Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, a son of the Presbyterian Scottish manse, as Chancellor, Robin Cook, son of a chemistry teacher, as Foreign Secretary. I think the task before the present government is even more complex and difficult than the situation which faced Blair in 1997. But one thing's for sure, no one will ever be able to accuse them of not knowing how the other half live. And that surely must be worth something. My own hope is that with the respect for family life and faith which Starmer has shown, and the adversity over which so many of his cabinet have triumphed, we may at least see a government made up of people we can trust and respect for their personal qualities. They will need those qualities in the difficult days, which I have no doubt now lie for them ahead. Amen.
For me, by name. dear plant, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me all the guilt within, upwards I look and see. Righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood, my life is saved with Christ on high. Christ my Saviour and my God, with Christ my Saviour and my God.
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Eintad, rhanoetan anevoedd, sancteddia de enw, dele de dernas gwnelo de wyslis, megis yn enef, fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth eith y gwared ni llawn drwg, can eis eiddo tig o'r dernos a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Father, we pray for our Bishop Dorian. We thank you for the initiative which he is taking in pruning for growth. We pray for ourselves as we seek to understand our response to it, for our area Dean John, especially for our new curate and vicar-to-be, Fran, as well as our Archdeacon, Aileen, and our other assistant clergy, Judith and Dylan. We pray for the diocese as a whole, as it seeks to bring the bishop's vision to fruition. We know that some of the decisions will be difficult. We pray for grace to make the difficult decisions that may face us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And on the subject of difficult decisions, Father, we pray for our new government, with the new Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, the members of the Cabinet, and the many Labour members of Parliament newly elected. We thank you for the service for those who have not been elected, having previously been members of Parliament. And we pray for them as they seek new ways of life going forward. And we pray for those like our outgoing Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, who must adjust to opposition after having been in power. And we pray for an effective opposition to the very strong majority that the Labour Party now has. We pray, Father, above all, for respect in public life and dignity, so that our nation's affairs may be properly conducted for the benefit of all the people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we've been thinking about family life. You are the Father from whom every family on earth is named. We remember especially our own families, near and far. We remember our forebears, those from whose example we have profited, our parents and others. And we pray for every member of our families, especially any who are in any kind of difficulty at this time. Sometimes, Father, we will not be able to be with them, but you are present. We pray that you would bless and keep them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our own new Member of Parliament, re-elected Ben Lake again for Plaid Cymru. We pray for this land of Wales in a changed political landscape, for our own local communities. We pray for prosperity and well-being for all our neighbours, particularly as the tourist season approaches in its fullest form. We pray for all our neighbours who make their livelihoods from that line of work, that you would bless their labours over these next months. So, Father, we thank you for our many blessings. We pray for the challenges which confront us as churches and as a nation. We pray above all that you would be with us and we would know your guiding hand, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah, you are the one who is.
Now may the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.